Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning, and welcome to Speak Up. I'm Jesse. Just heard my pre-recorded voice, and now I'm here live to share some talk and information with you this hour, 10 to 11 on Thursday, March 5th. Wow, already first episode of March. A bit of a mixed bag today. I've got interviews from two different people, Carl and Deborah, both members of the PA department, have done a couple interviews. One is with Service Canada, and one is has to do with the BC Bereavement Services and what they have available for students here on campus, and just people across the region. And then hopefully I'm going to have time to play an episode of Home and Away, the minor league baseball podcast by CJSF Arts and Entertainment Coordinator Jamie Sesford and Jessica Sands, his host, co-host in that endeavor. So I'm going to get to all of that, hopefully, and also play a couple tunes for you. The first thing I'm going to play while I get our first interview set up is from the new record by Babe Corner, a local band. Catchy, dreamy guitar riffs, synths, and soothing melodic lead vocals. Their new record is self-titled, it's the Killer EP, and we're going to play you a track called Cigarette. This is that, Cigarette, by Babe Corner on Speak Up. Cigarette by, excuse me, Babe Corner from the Killer EP. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM. And now I'm going to get you to an interview that one of our interns, Deborah, did with a mental health nurse, and they speak about the counseling department at SFU, the mental health unit, and just a bunch of stuff. So without further ado, here is that interview.
Hello, listeners. I have with me here two lovely ladies from the health and counseling services here at SFU, and we're going to talk about their services. I would have them introduce themselves.
Hi, thank you for having us, Deborah. I'm Sarah. I'm Health and Counseling Services Marketing and Communications Coordinator, and I work at this department to support all marketing initiatives.
And my name is Ruth, and I'm a mental health nurse at Health and Counseling, and I've been there for 4 years supporting students around their mental health. There are three of us in that position there.
So when we talk about the health and counseling services at SFU, what is it?
So SFU Health and Counseling Services encompasses everything health and wellness for SFU students. This includes, just like Ruth, mental health services. We have access case managers who support students who may be in crisis or who may need faster support. Of course, counselors as well, and we have psychologists, and we have physicians and transition case managers on the health side.
You mentioned some of the department, great. Mm-hmm. So I presume you have the mental health nurses department. What is that about, or why that side?
Okay, so we're part of the medical part of the clinic, and we are a group of registered psychiatric nurses. We're medically trained with a special focus on psychiatry and mental health. Mm-hmm. We are under a professional regulatory body of the BCCNP, which is the British Columbia College of Nursing Professionals. And on the medical side, we work in really close collaboration with a group of doctors that service the students in the clinic.
What are some of your roles? If I'm coming to the mental health nurses department, what are some of the services I'm supposed to get from there?
So we provide a wide variety of mental health support in areas of anxiety, depression, stress, sleep, relationship issues, and we also support sexual and physical violence areas.
How do students come to contact with the mental health department? Are you under the same umbrella with the health and counseling services, or you have a particular way students can directly contact you?
No, students go through a booking process at the front desk, our reception area, where they are met with either the phone or in person by the medical office assistants, and appointments are booked that way. However, if there's any follow-up care with us, we book that directly with the students ourselves.
Okay, so who are students dealing with when they book an appointment with a mental health nurse? Am I dealing with an expert, or am I going to meet volunteers, or am I sure that this is not just a student-led program, but I am in safe hands?
And that speaks back to that professional regulatory body. We are professionals. We are nurses that have to practice according to ethical standards and practices, and the knowledge base that we have to continually keep upgrading each year.
Okay. What would you say the strengths of the department? Sarah, you want to take that up?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are SFU's health and counseling services. So one strength is that we have a good understanding of the student body and what they're looking for. And we have been able to adjust our services according to what students want. Not always, but when we are able to, we are, of course, looking to support our students as best as possible. Another strength is that I know a lot of students say that the wait time is long, but they're actually pretty good compared to other services. For example, if you were to go to your doctor's office, you may have a longer wait time. And I just want to note that our wait time is actually comparable, or possibly even better, compared to other health and counseling services across post-secondary institutions in British Columbia. And yeah, sometimes you can actually see our staff faster And we also have, I kind of noted this, access case managers who are now available on a more drop-in, same-day basis.
Can I add to that?
Yes,
why
please.
The strength of our department is that we're a large multidisciplinary team. So there's not just counselors, there's not just the reception, there's not just mental health nurses, there's the physicians, there's psychologists, there's international case managers. And like Sarah said, we're very adaptable. We work together in supporting students, and we're aware of what student population issues are.
If I'm a student, when should I come to the health and services department? Or when do I need a mental health nurse?
Well, that would depend on where you're at. We operate out of a place of a psychosocial kind of model where we want to meet them looking after emotional, mental, physical, social, and spiritual well-being. So if you're struggling, if there's an area of your life that is not working well, you're failing in classes, you're not functioning, seek help.
If I'm going through all this, am I to see a counselor or I'm to see a mental health nurse? What's the difference between that?
And you know what? That might be not really clear, and sometimes it's not clear for us because, like I said before, we specialize and we've been trained in psychiatry and mental health issues, much like counselors. But what we encourage is students just to come in and say, I want to meet with a mental health provider. So that would encompass, that might be that case manager that they could talk to right that day. It might be the mental health nurse that you can book to see, you know, within 24, 48 hours. It might be waiting to see a counselor for longer term services. So it just depends when you come in. But coming in and asking to speak to somebody about your concerns is a really good starting point.
Sarah, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, one thing to add is that all of our different staff could refer you to other staff as well. So Ruth here might refer you to a counselor or perhaps to our transition case manager who works specifically with international students. So that's why we always encourage students to take the first step. And if they do believe they have a mental health concern, drop in and say they want to see a mental health provider and see how it goes from there. And we will, of course, do our best to support.
Am I losing my mind if I'm going to see a mental health nurse or I'm going to see a counselor?
No, I think that speaks to a lot of stigma.
Yeah.
We all experience periods of wellness and unwellness, and that may be mental health related, it may be physical related, it may be spiritually related, it may be socially related or academically related. There's different, it's on a continuum, and so definitely not that stigma piece.
When Deborah asked her question, I was shaking my head because there's such a stigma around mental health. I was actually recently a university student, and I just want to add that I always performed better in school and had better social relationships when I felt like I had good mental health. So everyone has mental health. It just varies throughout the years. It can change. There's things that happen. So one thing I always encourage, and I'm not a mental health provider, I just want to say that, is to always take care of yourself.
Thank you very much. I want to find out if the department takes into consideration relationships in terms of giving out a counselor, in terms of giving out a mental health nurse. Do you take into consideration age? Do you take into consideration gender? What about with somebody they are of the same age with, in terms of, especially in counseling, in terms of sharing their problems or issues? So you put that into consideration when you are giving a student a counselor?
Well, my standard answer or my basic answer, because I don't have a specific answer for that, is that we try to take a really holistic approach and see the person as an individual. And then once we know what their needs are, we can fine tailor that to more specific. But that first presentation, we don't know what their needs are. We don't want to assume what they need or want. And so we want to hear from them. What is it you're looking for? What is it you're dealing with?
Okay, great. Would you have something to add to that?
I do know that our Associate Director of Health is also interested in giving students what they want. So if students have specific requests, we try and meet them.
Okay. Okay. So going through your website, I saw something about Indigenous.
Yes.
Yes. Services for Indigenous students and services for international students. I was just wondering, how different is that from your regular services?
Yeah. So that's a great question. So SFU has a very large group of international students and a large group of Indigenous students. And that is why we wanted to support them directly. So they have their own international transition case manager. And then we also have an Indigenous student counselor. The Indigenous student counselor works in different locations. So sometimes it's at Burnaby Health and Counseling. Sometimes it's at Vancouver Health and Counseling. Sometimes it's in the Indigenous Student Center itself to make it very accessible for students. And likewise, our transition case manager will often work in the ISS, the International Student Services Office, as well, just to make it convenient for students. The difference is that these counselors and the case manager, they focus more so on those different groups, but they have similar training. So they do the same thing, they just focus on those specific groups.
Okay. So how have our lecturers, our educators been factored into your services?
That's a really good question. Health and Counseling Services has multiple departments, so I actually told you some of them. We have another big department called Health Promotion, and they are not the marketing team. So I have the marketing team. Health Promotion does something different. What they do is they work with the university administrators, faculty, and staff to run the Healthy Campus Community Initiative. And what this is a project / initiative where they are promoting different services and administrative ideas to help make sure that SFU has a healthy campus. So, for example, more windows, more lighting, the way spaces are designed, working with professors to speak to their students about the different services that they can take advantage of. They do a lot of talks and they do a lot of programming. They also manage SFU's health peer educators from the peer educator program. And we also have a student advisory committee. And so what we do is we work with the students and we work with the staff and faculty to make sure that SFU can be as healthy as possible. And yeah, right now we're working on building that.
Okay. So in terms of programs, it will just lead me to my next question of what are some of your programs, workshops, resources that the department has? Any of you want to take that up?
Yes. I do a lot of these, actually. So we have a lot of programs, workshops, events, animal therapy events. So these events and workshops come from all of our different programs. So we have counselors who host special seminars. For example, yesterday we had one around anxiety and depression. And then we have our graduate student counselor who hosts workshops targeted towards graduate students as well. So that's called Surviving to Thriving, and that recently just passed as well. Me, from the marketing end, I organize all of our animal therapy events. So this includes dog therapy. I'm working on bringing cat therapy back, and also the brand new bunny cafe that we're launching. So that's some events we host. And then we host other events. For example, I hosted Strengthening Safety, which is a physical practice self-defense workshop series. And that was in collaboration with SFU Recreation, SFU Campus Public Safety, and the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office. And basically, we want to do what students want, so we have a wide variety. We have another group that we work with, actually. We have a counselor who manages the High Five team at SFU, and High Five, they focus on promoting mental health around SFU and their students. They will be hosting Me Week very soon, actually, starting Monday, March 16th. And I also just want to add, dog therapy is happening right now, and Bunny Cafe is on March 19th, if anyone would like to attend.
Okay, so I was running through your website. You have a lot of information, I must confess. That's a real good job. I saw my SSP. What is my SSP? How does that work?
Big, important question.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good thing you asked.
Mm-hmm. So my SSP stands for My Student Support Program. And what this is a program that SFU has also pioneered with a few other universities. It is a program and an app where students can call in or download the app to get service to counseling.
Okay.
And the goal of this program is to make counseling services much more convenient for students. What it allows students to do is to receive counseling in different mediums. So this includes calling a counselor, talking with a counselor through video call, texting a counselor, or even seeing a counselor closer to where is convenient for them. So whether that be close to their work or close to where they live, just because health and counseling services is open 9 to 4:30 on weekdays. Sometimes this doesn't work with students' schedules. So my SSP is perfect for students who are on co-op or students who are part-time or who work full-time throughout the day. So it's a much more convenient way for them to access counseling services. And we have even paid for more counselors to support all the students who are using this program.
And one really important aspect of the MySSP program is that it's available 24/7. So, like Sarah talked about, health and counseling services being a 9 to 5, MySSP is available on a Saturday night, on a Sunday afternoon, on a Monday morning when stress hits, anxiety is raging. They can call, they can text, they can ask for that support via the MySSP app.
Mentioning again how students can book an appointment, I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, and that's really important for students to understand that there's two ways. They can call, they can book an appointment on the phone with the counseling staff, with a case manager, with a mental health nurse, with a doctor. The doctor appointments are limited. We are not a walk-in clinic, so there's limited same-day appointments. So the sooner they get on the phone and get that, they might get that same-day appointment. The other option is to come in. Stop by, come in, ask to see a mental health provider, ask to see a physician. If you're wanting the counseling, you can say, I want to see a counselor. But it's important that they take that first step, either call or come in.
Okay, so where is the office located at?
At SFU Burnaby, the office is located at the bottom of Maggie Benson Center, all the way at the bottom floor. At SFU Surrey, it's located just off of the mezzanine. So right when you're coming up the escalators or the elevator or stairs, if you turn right, straight down there, it's where the academic advisor's office are as well. And at SFU Vancouver, if you go down the escalators from the same floor as the library, it's just right at the bottom of the escalators.
Okay.
Yes.
That's great. Do you have any last words for students out there?
Yeah, so from my perspective, I just encourage students to make that step. If they're struggling, if they're not feeling well, if they're not functioning like they want to at university, it's a highly stressful environment. And our primary goal, our mandate, is to support students and support their well-being, whether it's mentally or physically, and all those other areas. And so just make that first step. Call, come in.
Yes, and we have a bunch of friendly staff.
Yes.
Okay,
very
so
friendly.
Yes. Do you have anything you want to sign off with?
We have all of this information on our website.
Okay.
I just want to let everyone know that. sfu.ca/students/health.
Okay, thank you very much, listeners. This has been an interview with the Health and Counseling Services, and I was here with Sarah and Ruth, who is a mental health nurse. We are just creating an awareness to you out there that yes, as Ruth said, and I'm borrowing her, was there are times that we are well and there are times that we are unwell. It's no fault of ours if you are in any position where you feel you are not well and you need help. Hey, there's a bunch of friendly staff out there at the health and counseling services at SFU who are ready to help you through your journey to achieving your academic excellence. Don't miss this opportunity. Go to their website, and I think Sarah will recreate that for me. Again, go to their website and give them a call. It is just a phone away to being well. Sarah, would you mind?
Yes. That is sfu.ca/students/health.
Thank you very much, Sarah and Ruth, for joining me in the studio for this discussion. And to my listeners out there, thank you for staying tuned. And I hope we've all been educated, and we will seek help when we need it.
You're listening to the computer-generated Music for One Computer by Michael Elder on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from the unceded ancestral territory of the Coquitlam, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh. We're online at cjsf.ca. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter. Send us a text, 778-782-2573. I'm Jesse. You just heard Deborah's interview with some of SFU's health and counseling services, talking about what's out there if you need health, especially on the mental health side of things. If you need some support, you can check all that out on SFU's website, sfu.ca. And earlier in the show, I promised you a minor league baseball podcast, and I know you're just dying to hear it, but it's too long. It's too long to fit into the rest of the show, so I'm going to have to save it till next week, because I also have an interview that my good friend Carl did at my behest, and this is with Service Canada, and talking about another program that benefits students here on SFU, well, on all of SFU's campuses, and in fact at universities across the country. So without further ado, I'm going to give you that interview with Carl, and then we'll come back and talk and play some more music. See you in a bit.
Marcella, could you tell us about Service Canada?
Well, Service Canada is a federal government department that I work for. It's housed within Employment and Social Development Canada. So yeah, I've been working there for about a year and a half now. I got my job through SFU Co-op, and I've been in a few different roles. But the one I'm doing now is focused on student recruitment and retention. The program is called the Campus Ambassador Pilot Program, which is an initiative of ESDC, which aims to, as is within the name, look to employ more students and retain them.
So this is targeted towards SFU students?
Not just SFU students, any student, really any student in Canada. It's a pilot program, so it's quite small scale right now. Me and I have a colleague at the University of Alberta who's also doing student outreach, as I am. We each respectively are focusing on the universities that we're at right now just because of convenience. But the services that we're offering, which are student advising and speaking about our experiences as students who have navigated the various student employment channels, We can offer a real sort of down-to-earth perspective when it comes to what it's like working with the federal government, what are your employment options, and pretty, yeah, just basic, yeah, student information. So, yeah, I do a lot of work with SFU students right now. This program is sort of in its infancy, and so as it develops, hopefully there will be more outreach to other educational institutions.
Okay, so what would you tell me, a student, mm-hmm. about the program if I came to ask you about, like, what specifically I would be able to do as a student?
For sure. Yeah, one of the things that we offer right now are one-on-one or a small group advising. So if you came to me, I think we talk a little bit about your particular situation, like what year are you in your university trajectory right now? Because depending on whether or not you're a student and where you are, you know, if you're in your last semester before graduation, there are some of the student programming like options wouldn't necessarily apply. But if you're in the middle of your degree, then, you know, an option like the co-op job placements are perfect. And a lot of federal government job postings are listed on there. Another really excellent channel that a lot of students take advantage of as well is called the Federal Student Work Experience Program. And that is an inventory where so students like you and I could put in our resumes, and employers would look through and see if there's a good fit. You would interview for the job that they're looking for. And yeah, hopefully you'd get a position for one semester, full or part-time. You could be in school at the same time if you chose. And then go from there. Yeah. In my experience, I decided to do 2 semesters back-to-back full-time. And then a third semester, I sort of rolled over into another semester, went back to school and worked part-time with the same team that I was with. So yeah, there are a lot of options. Students are quite often bridged in as well, after they're like established in a team and they have some real experience under their belt.
Yeah. All right. So just so if I understand this correctly, so mm-hmm. the program aims to help student find positions, and you're looking for students to do the job that you do, basically, which is...
No, the point is really to help students navigate, which can, you know, quite often be a kind of convoluted and not always super clear, like multiple channels that there are for them to find employment. So my job in particular is about sort of bridging the gap, and providing guidance and a student perspective. Of course, like our SFU co-op department or any co-op department at any university are fantastic, and they can offer some really great advice and guidance. But something, I think a niche that this Campus Ambassador Pilot Program sort of offers is sort of student-to-student advising. And so if you're wondering, you know, if you've never had work experience in like a professional office environment like me, I had a lot of customer service and like experience previous to my government work experience. So even chatting about, what it's like to work in an office culture, you know, what is the government looking for in your resume? Basic stuff like that.
Yeah, it seems like a very good idea to be able to speak to someone who's kind of on your level as a student, who will understand your questions and also like not like judge you for the kind of questions you would have.
Exactly. Yeah. So someone like you and I, for instance, we're more our career sort of trajectories would be quite similar. You know, it's less top down. There's more of a sort of the advising is more on an equal level. Yeah.
Okay. What, is there anything more you'd like to say? Or?
Yeah, well, beyond the student programming, there's also some programs that are available for recently graduated students as well. So the post-secondary recruitment inventories are also a really great way for recently graduated students to find entry-level positions with the federal government. And all of these sites are, of course, online. If you just Google them, they should come up pretty easily. Yeah, it's this program is going to be, it's a semester, from semester to semester, and so I think that there's going to be a break in the summer, but then start up again in September. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming to us, and it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, thank you.
She say bullshit, oh yes. Fuck being humble on my little day, like some shots with no taste. Pow, wow, ow, ow. West Coast step when I'm walking it out. Let's get Nietzsche, that's so dizzy. I'm my mama's child. All eyes on me, they watching us now. Middle fingers up, I'm too parking it out. Long head, don't care, boy, I do what I want. Got a party in the back, chief and council in the front. So spit game, talking shit, blah, blah, blah. You the lambs on the fuck with, nah, nah, nah. Shot my blood in my veins, hey, y'all, hey, y'all. Native tongue, but my name got so like they like, why? Spot it, oh, they. I'm so delicious. Them haters talking. I blow them kisses real deadly. When it all fall down, I can fall like confetti. My niche's been ready, let's go up already. My goonies go stupid like Eddie and Eddie. I told you my niche, remember who said it.
Remember who said it.
Snotty knows up to no good. I do what I want, what's good. My Nietzsche, I wish he would. This little engine, I could. I was dead to the world for a minute. Then when I put it in my head, I'm living. Linda, honey, listen, listen. I'm just the hardcore living. Whoa, I'm growing, I'm building my head through the ceiling. Who wanna come with us? I'm one in a million. I'm one with the vision. Young man's on a mission. My brother, that fool, with a demon to miss him. We born in a system created for killing. The vision might kill us. Creator, we willing to kill for the shit. It's all part of the business. I'm God. Creator, my witness. Real deadly. Keep it 100, Jeopardy. Big great energy, I'm a man, I'm a beast. These rappers all to my recipe. New ones, only ones next to me. Life's a bitch, mine's destiny. Fuck with me, I won't miss a beat. Been working on for this legacy, real deadly.
Real deadly.
When it all fall down, I can fall like confetti.
Fall like confetti.
My niche's been ready, let's go up already. My goonies go stupid like Eddie and Eddie.
Eddie and Eddie.
You remember who said it.
Remember who
Number
said it.
Seven.
Real Deadly by Snotty Nose Res Kids. New single released just a couple days ago here on Speak Up, CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. You just heard Carl's interview with Marcella from Service Canada talking about some programs. And if you want more information, there will be a very long, complicated email address in the show notes. I would read it out to you, but it's literally the longest email address I've ever seen in my life. I think it's, well, here, just for fun. This is fun content. esdc.wt.ssb.campusambassadorcampus.dgss.ot.edsc@servicecanada.gc.ca. So, instead of trying to remember that email address, just go to cgsf.ca, click on the show link for this page, the Thursday Speak Up, and there'll be a link in there. You can click, the email will be there. You can just copy paste. Easy peasy if you're a student and you want to get involved in that program. This is Speak Up. You heard Snotty Nose Res Kids. We're into the home stretch here, and I'll be right back after these important messages.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Warmer ocean temperatures can damage corals and eventually even kill them. so climate change poses a grave threat to coral reefs. But a recent study suggests it's not time to despair. It's time to act.
The key thing that we found is that there is hope for coral reefs.
That's Malin Pinsky of Rutgers University. His research team modeled how corals will fare under different warming scenarios.
And what's new about what we did is that we considered the fact that corals can actually evolve a little bit, can actually evolve higher tolerance for temperatures as time goes on.
But he says that slow process will only be possible if coral ecosystems are protected from other threats, such as overfishing and pollution. So he says it's critical to create protected areas where fishing is limited and pollution is controlled. As oceans warm,
the next 50 or 100 years does look pretty grim. But what we found is that reef conservation and setting up marine protected areas can really boost corals' ability to evolve and cope with these changes. So if there's work we can do in the short term to preserve specific places, we can think about preserving a long-term future for coral reefs.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
CJSF is looking for new volunteers to come in and make radio. No experience is necessary. You can learn to DJ, edit sound, produce news, make posters, and host your own show. Come out to a weekly station orientation to get involved. Orientation times can be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
Studio 6, CJSF's video series, captures high-quality video recordings of live performances.
Running gonna be
and interviews with impactful and inspiring artists.
Stunning, I'm gonna win.
As well as engaging conversations with community members about the issues that are most important to their communities.
There was a lot of triggering things, and so for me, what I want to do is want to make sure that I am carrying a message through most of my music, not all of my music, because I don't feel like it's my job. I'm not a musical activist.
Watch all of the Studio 6 live sessions on CJSF's YouTube page or on our website at cjsf.ca/studio6.
Done and I'm gonna win. Yeah.
Hi, we are Liars.
I'm Javin and I play keyboards and sing in Young Pacific.
I'm Nathaniel. I play guitar and sing in Dead Soft.
Since moving to BC, I've been a huge fan of Emily Carr's art.
I wrote a lot of it on the road. That was our first real tour.
What role do you think time plays in transforming something into art?
We've arrived at sexual maturity as a band.
The Arts Show, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Welcome back to Speak Up here on CJSF. Now time for some more music. This is from a new record by the Jamie Lee Trio, cool jazz record called Introspective, the lead-off track, Overclock.
all alone. But I lay in the bed that we made together. Oh, and I still have pictures of you, but I keep them boxed up in the cellar. Oh, cry.
new record out now on Min Records. You want it real? It rips. It's great. They have a show at the Red Gate on March 20th, coming up a couple weeks. You should go see it. This has been Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. Democracy Now! Is coming up pretty much immediately, so you can hang out for that and find out what's going on in the world of U.S. politics. I'll see you later. Bye.
If you're a regular listener of this show or other shows on